people who love them.
Hello and welcome to The Thing About Cars, recording from Atlanta, Georgia, in beautiful Strongbox West, this great co-working facility here on the eastern side of Atlanta. It's the western side of Atlanta.
West Midtown.
I failed geography. So, here at the table today, we have returning yet again for another episode.
Greg Warner.
And then.
Ben.
And then.
Becca.
The other Becca.
And the other Becca.
Oh, yeah. But which Becca is the other Becca?
You are. Both
of you. Because last time you were the other Becca because you came in, but now, see, we need to just have nicknames.
We need to figure that out.
Our voices are fairly distinct.
Though. Yes, I think that's right. So on our agenda for today, I want to talk about, Greg mentioned something a second ago about the recall on the airbags that came out of his old Honda minivan. And then we have a wide variety of things we've written up on the board today that we want to touch on. So we might get to, I think Becca once posted something about Porsche maybe doing competition with Tesla.
Y'all know I'm all about that electric.
Heck
I still
yeah.
have the money.
Well, and speaking of electric, Volvo has announced that they are going to try to go all electric by 2020. We'll come back to that.
Schematic, so, you know, build your own.
Can I get through the agenda?
No.
and we still didn't talk about the Chinese company buying Lotus yet. Maybe we should start with that. What happened there, Ben?
We did see a really beautiful Lotus the other day.
Well, this was, this has been in the works for a while, but the Chinese company Geely, who also now own Volvo, have acquired a 51% stake in Lotus. So it's a controlling interest, but it's not a complete ownership. The other 49% still belongs to the Malaysians who've had the company for years.
Ooh, a Volvo-Lotus crossover.
Right. But, Lotus enthusiasts are generally positive about this because Geely has a reputation for letting the companies they acquire continue to do their own thing. They take a fairly hands-off approach to their acquisitions.
But are they going to fund Lotus's efforts to do the next cool, innovative thing?
We sure hope so.
Okay.
Because there are a lot of cool ideas that just need to be funded.
Right. And that's been my understanding for many years now, is that Lotus has tons of things in the works that they could actually do for the want of better funding.
Sure. Well, there was a plan back in 2009. It was very ambitious. The then CEO had this great idea to bring out five new models in 5 years. And prototypes were not even prototypes. Basically, the big clay models were cooked up and shown at the shows. And everybody went, ooh, ah. And then they kind of said, how are they going to do that?
Right.
And that went by the wayside. That CEO, a couple of years later, was fired for just gross mismanagement. He was a former Ferrari exec, so go figure.
There you go.
he was a marketing guy. Canned him. They've got a new CEO now, a guy named Jean-Marc Gales. I forget what his background is, but he's been doing a pretty bang-up job.
Well, if there's any car company out there that wants to make me CEO for a year, I'm happy to take on the challenge.
I hope
so. You guys know.
Yeah.
Should we maybe not say that somebody in the car company is doing a bang-up job? I'm just...
It's a matter of perspective, I suppose.
We really need to do that PC.
Oh, no, I'm more worried about jinxing.
Oh.
Right. Greg, so you were talking a second ago while we were taking a break about getting rid of the Honda, or you had crashed it?
I've got an old 2002 Honda that just has 235,000 miles on the transmission died, and it just wasn't really worth doing much with. I'm just eventually going to sell it. But Honda knew that I still owned it, and desperately wanted the airbags out of it because it was in the Takata recall. And within 45 minutes, somebody was there to remove the airbags.
Wow.
At their expense, put in brand new airbags for a car that may go to the junkyard.
So they put in new ones?
Yes.
I thought they just removed the old ones.
They put in brand new ones. I mean, they spent hundreds of dollars.
If it's in a junkyard, I mean, people are going to pull parts off.
But then they get decent parts.
Yeah.
I can now sell the car if I need to.
Okay, so I'm picturing a literal junkyard where people can just come in and.
Well, if I sell it to a junkyard, yeah, that's where
it
would go.
Okay, I was under the impression it was already in one.
If somebody bought the steering column out of it, they get that airbag.
Right. Yeah. But see, Mickey is bent on saying that I really hate minivans, and I'm over here trying to convince Greg that he needs to turn it into a hot rod.
I know what. If somebody can give me an LS1 motor, I'll put that in there. Yes.
Wait for it.
I'm giving him an evil look. You know what?
Yes.
You know what? I'm all over this one. I will allow that LS swap. If you can fit an LS in there, I want to see that.
A minivan has enough room to put a Merlin in.
Yeah, exactly. We can make that happen.
It's a Honda minivan. How much room is there in the engine?
What did this to V6?
You could put it in back.
You could put it in the back.
Yeah. Put it in the back.
Oh, no,
you could totally re-engineer the floor pan. You could completely do a north-south V engine with rear drive.
Oh, no, a mid. You can do a mid and just have it be
that
a hump in the side.
Okay, yeah, so I was just shocked. Bring us back to the original topic. I was shocked at the notion that
it's just cheaper for
them to do that than it is to deal with the lawsuit.
Yeah, this way they can tell the government that they've got their hands on that one that's been recalled, and they don't have to worry about it.
Right.
I'm still dumbfounded at that, but
I was
no,
too.
It's
I was
not actually, in a junkyard. Why would you bother putting the brand new ones in there if the car?
Well, it's
that
still
bad.
But
even if it was in a junkyard, they would go do it.
Wow, they would go do it
because then they can prove to the government that they've got their hands on it.
Mm-hmm. Right,
it's a control situation.
Amazing. Yep. So, Becca, talk to us about the Porsche competing with Tesla.
I just thought it was a briefly interesting article, and I've been working like 8 days a week, so I didn't investigate much further.
It's pretty.
But Porsche, yes, it is very pretty.
Yeah.
I think that Porsche
has the resources to do it. They may not have much reputation in this space, but they are one of the most cash-rich car companies out there.
And it's going to look prettier than that damn electric BMW.
That's easy.
What is that? So ugly.
X3?
Yeah. I have no idea. I've only seen one design, and I forget which model it was, but one design actually looked okay, but the rest of them look like I don't know.
The IA2.
It looks like a Golf with flashy lights.
Right.
The IA2K. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, you know, Porsche has been playing around with electrics for a while, right? Like the what's the one that they built that actually does the regenerative braking?
I think that was the 918 or something. It was a really, really expensive high-end hybrid sports car.
And so they're using an electric motor to assist with acceleration, and they charge that electric motor from the brake energy and from other things. So, yeah.
Formula One technology.
Most hybrids actually do that.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm keen on buying my first electric car, but I need to find a job first. So.
Yeah, I'm keen on all y'all buying electric because it saves gas for me.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. What if my Honda one day, instead of doing an engine swap for an Acura, what if I turned it into an electric?
You totally could.
Now there's a project car for you. Yep.
There's probably an aftermarket kit for that, actually.
Probably. Yep. Yeah. Oh, ooh, I got ideas now.
Yeah.
I mean, my transmission's still good. I'm at, 185 right now, 187, something like that.
Yeah.
And, so maybe... I've got a ways, I think, I hope, before the transmission's out.
Yes.
I've seen things as odd as an 83 Toyota pickup truck turned to electric. So you can do it. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, at one point, that's the podcast, is after we do it.
Yes, we should talk about bizarre
super excited
projects like 4x4 Mustangs.
So, Ben, what was that thing you posted on our internal group the other day? There's a GM-based V12 that you can get out of Australia?
Yes, there's a wacky little Australian company, and well, no offense to them if you're listening, although I doubt it, but these guys have decided that, you know, if you can have that big honking GM V8, why not have 12?
Right. Size does matter.
Right. They've got it available now in an iron block, and they're working on an aluminum block. The only question is, do you have room for it? And they did show a picture of a Camaro that had room for it. So.
Sure. But an aluminum block V12, I mean, that just screams trouble to me. Right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
No?
No.
Not with today's metallurgy.
No?
Yeah, it's great. Most engines today are aluminum. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I don't know, that's a lot of energy moving around.
Well, some people that I won't bash on here have had difficulty with aluminum on higher cylinder engines, and they're being Australia, they're not really going either way. The good side that did well with it and the side that didn't do so well with it.
Well, if Greg is right and metallurgy has improved, then maybe I should just have faith in that. But I grew up when aluminum heads were a new thing, and aluminum heads were notorious for warping and destroying themselves all the time.
And when you never bought an American car with aluminum.
No.
No offense.
Right.
No,
that's right. So I don't know. If for anybody who's willing to do the LS swap, and they'd rather have a V12 instead. Sorry, Becca always has serious visceral reactions.
Can you see the board behind you, by the way, to see what it says?
We cannot talk about that.
You can't say it out loud. Oh, goodness gracious. It has set a tone for
this will get edited.
And I thought I had a
We didn't say it. We didn't say it.
Personally, I'd like to swap one of those BMW M5 spec V8s into things.
Heck yeah. So. Oh, heck yeah. That's a screamer of an engine. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so on our list,
that's
have...
What I, no, That's what I need to do. Future, I'm thinking
about
what kind of swap I would do.
Also on the agenda, Ford and Lyft are teaming up to do something. What are they teaming up to do?
Well, basically autonomous ride hailing.
So autonomous driving keeps on coming up as a headline over and over again, right? I mean,
it's such a trippy idea, the future. Yeah.
But
are we in the Jetsons yet?
Right. No, it's something that everybody is embracing. Like even one of our topics up on the board is Apple may have attempted to build a car, but even though they may not release an actual car, they're going to license their software to other car developers. Autonomous driving is clearly the next big thing, right? Even though it seems sort of counterintuitive, why would I trust my life and limb to a computer?
Well, as I drive along in the morning and I look at all these people who are talking on the phone, eating, putting on their makeup, not really paying attention, I think I'd rather be sitting alongside of a car driven by a computer than a dumb person that doesn't know how to drive trying to do it while they're not even awake.
Yeah.
All of us around the table are not.
I mean, I actually see people.
I'm trying to decide still.
I'm not saying that I want to be in that car. I'm saying I want everybody else to so the computers don't hit me.
Right.
I still want to drive.
And if you've been on a commercial airline flight in the last few years, you have trusted your life to a computer doing the driving.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. People don't realize it, but it's true.
Yeah.
I see people driving around with a bowl of cereal and a spoon. That's two hands, guys.
Yeah.
Like,
and then they're smoking a cigarette and then talking on the phone at the same time.
Yeah. No, I mean, I am guilty of doing my makeup in the car. I don't advise any of my clients ever to do that.
Okay, I smoke while I'm driving to keep from killing all the other drivers. It's a public service that
killing
I smoke
myself.
Wow.
Okay, you're killing yourself.
I'm avoiding killing everybody driving. But when I was a kid, I used to think if drinking and driving was so bad, eating and driving must be so much worse.
Pretty bad.
Anybody remember a toy that used to be out called the Revenger?
The Revenger. Yeah. That
it was a little black box about the size of a radar detector. It kind of looked like one. You put it up on your dashboard. It had four or five buttons across the front, and each one made a sound effect like a machine gun firing or a missile or a laser. And so whenever somebody ticked you off in traffic, you just hit one of those noises and pretend you're blowing them up.
We need one back.
Was
out.
It, was it inside
that.
The car or outside the car?
Yeah, it's inside
the car. Saying, could they hear it outside?
No. Only you could hear it because it's inside your
What's
car.
What's the car?
Oh. No, I need it on
gives you a little giggle.
Yes, no, I want flames issue. Coming out of my tailpipes to scare them when they're riding my bumper.
Now, it would not be too difficult if you had an external speaker, too, wireless up to do that.
Well, old CD
systems. We need to do that for Becca.
I'm all over that.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to it either.
It's also
an unromantic comedy called The Revenger.
There's some legalities to that. You can't have, like, I think more than a 5-watt speaker outside your car.
Well, I think part of it, though, is once it's outside of your car,
everybody's going to hear it.
Well, no, the government, the FCC governs what can be heard publicly, and that includes a loudspeaker. From a CB system.
Now, if you had a commercial two-way radio that had an external speaker, as many of those work trucks do, you could just say, hold it near your microphone, you know.
I don't know if I could cover up my language that well. Honestly.
I found a Revenger from 1987 you can buy on Gumtree.com for 30 pounds.
30 pounds?
Yes, I suppose.
All right, I'm going
just
to eBay.
It, guys.
If it's the size that Ben was showing with his fingers, it's made out of dark matter.
right.
well, we're Googling it. Well, okay. Someone eBay. Sold one for 25 pounds.
You're going to love this, Ben.
Take a screenshot if you see it.
You need to hear this. Original 80s Revenger electronic sound novelty machine car with a box that works. Guess how much it is on eBay.
$72.99.
$40.
$250.
What?
Jesus. I think I will go raid my parents' old CD first.
Yeah.
And
$250 for a Revenger.
But if you go on, and hopefully they still have it. Can I do a shameless plug for ThinkGeek? Non-car place, but they have this round thing that just makes little like smiley face emojis. And you can press a button up front, and it tells the person behind you what mood you're in.
Oh,
yeah. So you can make
I like
I'm mad at you faces while you're driving down the road.
Please send me a link for this.
There's another one. There's someone else who actually converted a bumper sticker-sized LCD screen that you can display images on. But I'm like, that's just asking for trouble in this world. If all of a sudden.
Probably.
Yes, the language again.
Then there is a push button. you just mash it, and it has like 12 different sayings for what you need to say as you're
how
driving.
How to be goofy and tell off other drivers.
Yes.
While being censored.
Feel like a kid.
This is how you shorten your lifespan in Atlanta by getting shot by a
runner. Anybody remember the old J.C. Yes. Whitney catalogs?
Yes. There was still out there.
Not like they used to be. There were back in the 80s at they were like a phone book made of really, really thin paper. Mm-hmm. They had a million things in them. Crazy accessories you'd wonder if anybody ever bought. And one of them was a hood ornament that was like a little jester clown guy who was thumbing his nose. And the nose thumbing arm was illuminated. So in theory, you could have a push button on your dashboard to make that arm blink when somebody ticked you off.
That's kind of funny. So let's bring this back around to car distractions.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I was going
to
say. Well,
you know, if we're having self-driving cars in the future, this could be kind of fun, like a fun little game for passengers in cars, theoretically.
Oh, sure.
You know, to maybe
well,
not flip
cars,
each other off. You
yeah,
know, maybe
they're not making
not
each other
nice, but send them emojis in their driverless car. Like, I don't know. It's a
well,
thing.
You know, it makes me wonder, though, because, you know, public transportation is sort of a placebo for the autonomous vehicle. I mean, it's not completely autonomous if you do have a driver, but now you have a bunch of passengers who could be in the back of a bus who can make faces at other drivers or talk to other drivers. Or
that's what we did in school.
Well, goodness, I mean, talk to the person who's sitting across the row from you and
shocking.
Say, hey, yeah. That's a nice-looking briefcase you got there or whatever.
There was the rash back in the 80s from the school bus. We would, you know, do the hand crank motion and ask everybody if they had some grape coupons.
Yes.
Nice.
If anybody remembers those commercials.
Oh,
we
yes.
would do it from the big yellow cheese school bus.
Well,
people
last...
still put jars of that in their Rolls Royces at car shows, too.
What?
That is so old.
Go to a British car show. I guarantee you there will be a Rolls Royce with a jar of grape coupon on the little champagne shelf that folds down from
how
the front
funny.
Seat.
Oh,
So the last thing on the board that we haven't talked on yet, touched on today, we've touched on quite a few things just in this rambling conversation that's taken over this particular episode. But I think the last thing is in-car tech issues, and I'm not sure who Becca wrote it up there, but I'm not sure what we were talking about.
But
when
that
we wrote
probably
it up there.
Like that goes in with the electric vehicles, touch screens, and
right.
you know what happens
yeah,
when the technology
that was Ben's touch
yes,
screen with distractions.
Yeah. Right, they're finding that that. A lot of in-car tech now isn't great because it takes too much driver attention away. You know, mm-hmm. the old days, you knew where your volume knob was. You could just mm-hmm. reach and hit mm-hmm. it. Now you might have buttons on your steering wheel. Your thumb gets used to where they are pretty soon. But the touchscreen, you've got zillions of layers and menus you can access mm-hmm. through it. You mm-hmm. have to look at it. And so that takes your eyes off the road and your attention off the road. Of course, we could just ignore it and say, well, it'll be autonomous in 5 years, so we'll let a few people crash and not worry about it. But I'd rather not take that approach.
Right. So, I mean, I read elsewhere where...
Because they might crash into me.
Right. No, that the death toll is actually higher, even though that, you know, all these safety things are happening within
yeah.
cars. Like Georgia, for instance, we have the Amber Alert signs that go across the interstate, and they say the we've had X number of deaths on mm-hmm. Georgia interstates this year.
Yeah,
it is now... I try not to announce the date
it's
of the recording.
Close to 1,200.
Right, so here we are.
As of today, just say as of today.
So here we are in the beginning of October, and I try not to announce the date because I don't know how long it will take me to edit this and get it out. But it's the beginning of October, 1,200 fatalities. Last year, we didn't hit 1,200 in December.
Mm-hmm.
And the year before that, we didn't hit 1,000 in December, or just hit 1,000
in December. Yeah, it's really
unfortunate.
Yeah.
So, you know, I drive down the road, I still see people doing the distracted driving thing, and I...
And developing the tech in cars is problematic, too, because the car has a design cycle and life cycle of years. Mm-hmm. We've still got things being put in cars designed in 2008, tech-wise. Mm-hmm. Phones have a design cycle of months,
mm-hmm.
and they're very, very compelling.
And that's what I was thinking. By the time that you design the car,
yeah.
got it into production and everything, the next thing might have come out the way
yeah.
technology
well,
moves sometimes.
Didn't you guys hear about the thing? I don't know. I can't remember where I read it, but phone companies are now going to build, and you cannot disable them, build safeguards into their phones that certain things don't operate if the phone's moving above a certain speed.
They want to, yes. There are problems
with
that.
But then there's the question of, like, what about your passengers? Your passengers
exactly.
are driving, so how do you separate that?
I like the idea that kind of like the car and the particular phone of the driver is paired,
mm-hmm.
and for the car to, say, turn on, shift into drive, whatever, the car needs to be plugged into a port, and maybe through the car's touch screen, what have you, you have limited function like navigation or voice control or calling or something like that, but very limited, but through your phone.
Yeah.
That way you still have it.
Some functionality.
But you can't pick it up and use it or car
lights. Oh, sure, yeah.
So
I wish my dad could be here for this conversation. Back in the 60s, he worked in automotive safety. He's been deceased a few years, but he would love this.
So to our listeners, if we know anybody out there who's into automotive safety and you're a professional in the field, we would like to talk to you.
Well, what I think is just put down the phone.
Wow.
It's simple. It's
tell
just
the millennials that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's adults. It's a lot
it's
of
adults.
People.
It's everybody. Yeah. It really is. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Well, the adults we survived for a long time without cell phones.
What gets me, though, is the raw deniability of the entire thing. I'm driving down the road. I'll look to my left or my right, and I'll see somebody whose face is illuminated by a phone screen, and I'll beat my horn at them. And then it's like, just deny it, right? I can't be wrong. I shouldn't apologize. I have no culpability whatsoever. They'll just make the phone disappear, and life is good. I'm like, no, you were just screwing up and not only doing something illegal, but doing something profoundly stupid. Just, you know, own it and say, you know, maybe not do it again, or I don't know.
Australia has a good law enforcement approach to that.
Yeah.
They've got motorcycle cops who have helmet cams, and they've got a little thing on their wristwatch that controls the camera or on their handlebar. They've got a microphone in their helmet. The evidence video that's produced has the cop saying, look, there he is. See him? He rides right up to the window, taps on the glass, tells him he's busted.
Right.
Oh, my.
Well, our Atlanta cops are doing something
like
similar.
That for, yeah. Well, Gwinnett's the U.S.
Same thing.
Yeah, but here
that's
in the U.S.
subject.
How many times I've seen a cop driving down the road
elsewhere. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're having a total sidebar over here.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no, and I'm about to rant. But, you know,
I've driven through Maryland at rush hour in the morning, and they have a, if it's not hands-free, you don't use it.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's very nice to be driving along.
Yes.
Quite a few. Well, there are some that allow hands-free, and some say, no, don't.
It's very nice to drive, and you know that everybody else is kind of paying attention.
My general rule of thumb is to use my microphone and use the voice on my GPS if I'm driving.
Yeah.
So it's, I'm like, she's yelling the directions at me, guys. So, yeah.
Let's bring it back to cars. Anything else before we wrap up this episode besides simply encouraging people to be safer and take responsibility for their driving?
We didn't talk about road trips. I know some of it had been mentioned on another one. I had mentioned my friend arguing with me that you could not take a vintage or a classic car on a long-distance road trip. There's always that.
We'll come back to that
one.
Okay, we'll definitely cover that one in another episode. If we have time for one more today, we may not. So I guess that's it. Ben, you look like you're about to say something.
It can wait till the next one.
You look pensive, Ben.
So, again, I guess that's it. Thank you for joining us. As always, this is The Thing About Cars, recording in Strongbox West. Find us on Facebook at The Thing About Cars or online at thethingaboutcars.com. And we really look forward to joining you for another episode soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.